Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennetts Green.
Lovely to have you in the studio this morning. Head of the School of Education at the University of Newcastle, Professor John Fischetti. John, good morning.
Hey, Todd, good morning.
It's an interesting topic. We know more and more. Obesity is making headlines on a daily basis, and unfortunately our kids from a very, very young age, it's affecting them right from the get-go. Interesting story in the papers last week. Don't know what your thoughts are on this. Students as young as 9 would be forced to take fitness exams so schools across the country can be ranked on obesity in a plan to overhaul the controversial NAPLAN testing. Have you dug deep into this, and what's the feeling at the moment on that?
Yeah, I think that was a leaked memo, email that might have gotten out. And either way, it'll provoke a really healthy and important conversation, don't you think, Todd, about obesity and what kids should be doing in and around all the academic stuff in school?
We keep talking about it, and if we've said it once, we've probably said it a dozen times. More and more is being lumped onto schools. Yeah. More and more is being lumped onto teachers. Is it your opinion that teachers have a responsibility in relation to the weight of their pupils?
Well, in many ways, the 25% of the time that young people are in school of their day, 6 hours out of 24 is about 25% of their day. We have about 25% of the responsibility, but maybe much more the moral responsibility. I'm less convinced a standardized fitness test will get us very far. But the idea that we let children play and we keep them moving and we build nutrition and overall well-being in is a really good, important concept. There's also the health-related learning about what we take in and how we live for a lifetime that particularly primary kids can learn and change bad habits earlier rather than let them manifest till later in life.
PE's been in school a lot, physical education. You were telling a story of your school days. It's not new, the potential of having, if not a test, but a yardstick on pupils' fitness.
Yeah, I grew up in New York and Virginia in the U.S., and the president's physical fitness test was phased in during my primary education. It was an offshoot of John Kennedy, who said, let's get to the moon, but he was also worried about the same issue. Let's not just study science, let's get up and move. So we had to do, before the school year started, right in those first couple days, and then at the end, a pre- and post physical fitness test, sit-ups, push-ups, 100-meter dashes, chin-ups, climb a rope, all these very competitive things. And while it appeared to be a good benchmark, I'm not sure they did much in between. I don't really remember. But it also created the wrong message to children who had a learning difficulty, children who had a physical handicap, children who were a bit overweight, who couldn't keep up. So it was a rating and ranking system that may have actually backfired on those kids that actually needed the education the most.
Do you think it was a case of being seen to be doing something?
Yes, it was one of those things before we really knew also the connection between diet and exercise, secondhand smoking, the ill effects of being in a room that's been cleaned with bleach and pesticide. There are a lot of issues now that we know that we can change and mitigate for kids.
A couple of things that have come out of this as well, which is very interesting on a New South Wales level. I don't know about the rest of the states in Australia. But the Baird government's report, the one which you're thinking potentially has been leaked, partly blames childhood obesity on schools refusing to teach sport seriously. So here's the problem I have from reading between the lines. If I got it right, what do we do? Do we turn around and have a situation where we teach children the seriousness of sport, where what is teaching sport seriously, win, 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 or basically just get children involved to have some fun, get them moving and get active? Where's the seesaw on this?
Well, I would take a different approach. I think it's about physical activity and nutrition, not necessarily sport. We need to teach activities for a lifetime. So sport is designed that you and I would play till one of us wins. That's typically, in that we create a lot of good messages and not so good messages that some people will stand on the sideline because you're the best player. But in physical activity, we all move. And keep in mind, at the same time these reports are coming out, children are increasingly sitting on the couch with screens in front of them. Families are spending enormous amounts of money and effort on internet access and iPads and phones. If we get up and move, we're actually solving some of the problems. So I don't think it's a sport teaching issue. It's physical activity and nutrition. One of our colleagues in the centers here, the Physical Activity and Nutrition Priority Research Center right here on campus, has a major effort on physical activity movement. And one of our colleagues, Nick Riley, finished his thesis a year ago on linking numeracy and movement in math, teaching math by getting kids out and active. So around the campus, around the school, moving during the lessons and still learning the content. those kind of activities aren't sport, but they get kids doing other than sitting and listening to teachers talk.
And let's face it, by about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to glaze over. If I've got to go to a conference, if I've got to listen to something, that is the worst time for me because I'm just not absorbing it. But to get up and have a walk around, to get some air in the lungs, get the blood pumping a little bit better, seems to make it easier. It's a bizarre situation. We live in a world where kids are spending time sitting on a lounge playing soccer on a television.
Right, isn't that interesting? Or that we think we's an innovation because we can move our wrist and play tennis. You know, why don't we go out and play tennis? So you see that 60 minutes a day is the benchmark of children to play. Play not just for the sake of activity, the sake of what it does for our cognitive development and being out in nature. So families, in many respects, for safety reasons or just time management reasons, don't have kids go out and play. When you were younger, did you just go out and say, "Mom, I'll be back"? And you came up a couple hours later, she didn't even know where you were. There seems to be a new sense of security around kids where we don't let them just go off and play. Or when they do, it's on a team with Saturday and we got to win. We have the right shirt on. And that's all important, but it isn't physical activity and nutrition. That's sport.
Well, the only rule was be home by the time the streetlights come on. And I think there's a lot of people who grow up. Before I let you go, they're also saying that 80% of primary school sports teachers aren't specialists. And nearly half of high school sports classes were too easy. So HSC today, students are sitting, you know, physical education exams. Do we need to get more sports specialists into primary school?
Particularly since we know the cognitive link between nutrition, activity, overall learning, and health for a lifetime, we need specialists that understand, I'll call them the learning sciences, and I put well-being at the top of that, Todd, which is all-inclusive of what you're saying. I don't know that it's sports specialists. It's sort of understanding well-being. And physical education teachers and the study they do is actually really, really strong in that area.
It's part of it. Thanks for your time.
2NURFM 103.7.